him. Honourable members, were on the draft report of the Standing Committee on Appropriations on the Adjustments Appropriation Bill, B16-2019, National Assembly Session 773, December 2019. So this was sent to us. Just to give you a second bite, we'll go page by page. Remember that these first parts are more of a reflection of what happened, recording of what happened, and then we'll be having our note and recommendations. That's why I expect more, a little bit of a discussion. On page one, page two, three, our numbers, guys. Four, page five, six, seven, okay, eight, we must still check our S's and have been, had been.
Yeah.
So, okay. Nine. Ten. Eleven. 13, 14, 14. Honorable Sheikh, you missed that. Were you there when there was fields of green for all?
I'm thinking about you.
It was really fields of green for all, eh? Is that so?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it.
The committee.
Not the specific people who came here,
okay,
but the discussion around the subset.
Okay.
Yeah, and how can we take the economy?
Okay. Around budget.
Around the what?
Okay. On 16. Now we're starting on section 5 with committee observations and findings. I want to give members about 5 minutes, just go over that section again, just read again, just to see and note what you'd like to raise on page, that's page 5, I mean page 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, it can even be 10 minutes because I just want to make sure that we observe properly and we recommend properly. The time is 11, so at 10 past 11, then we'll...
Long live the chair.
Honorable Joseph, did you send Honorable Saropen location?
It was the last time, I don't know where he is.
He might have got lost, that's why I'm saying, did you send him a location? Okay, honourable members, Let me take this opportunity and welcome Honorable Sarupen. Honorable Sarupen, welcome. I was asking Honorable Joseph whether he did send you location. Now we are dealing with the draft report on appropriations of the adjustment appropriation bill. So we are on page, we are noting and recommending. Obviously, when we note with concern. On page 16, anything on page 16?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, on Sheikh.
Let's see. I think 5.1, it says the committee is concerned by the 3.9 billion in declared unspent funds due to the potential negative impact. Now, I think that wording is a bit misleading in my interpretation of the line, and I'm sure my colleagues. The committee is concerned by the 3.9 million in declared unspent funds.
Yeah.
Now we're saying that this 3.9 million fund is due to the potential negative impact. So I just think the wording is incorrect there.
Okay, that's fine. Help us reconstruct that one.
Or it will be the committee is concerned by the 3.9 billion in declared unspent funds as a result of the potential negative impact or the negative potential negative impact on service delivery programs. But I'm not sure whether the word is due to the potential negative, because I think it's supposed to be the other way around. That 3.9 billion underspending is going to have an impact on the service delivery programs and have a negative impact. So
yeah, we understand exactly what you are saying. Let's see what how we keep charting it.
Okay. Chair, I
think we can just say the committee is concerned by the 3.9 billion in declared unspent funds, given the potential.
Why is it the potential? Because there will be negative impact.
The potential, there will be.
Okay, are we agreeing that we are saying given the negative impact on service delivery program where these funds were initially planned,
yeah.
Something like that, right?
I didn't hear that clearly.
No. One thing we're saying that should not be potential. I think we're clear there will be negative impact where they were supposed to be spent in the first place. So it's what's proposed, that the committee is concerned by the niche, by the 3.9 billion rand in declared and spent funds, given the negative impact on service delivery programs where these funds were initially planned to be spent, right? So there will be, it's not even a potential, it's there, right? Okay, thank you. Any other intervention on page 16? On page 17, Makakura 5.6.
Sorry, Chair.
Honourable Sheikh.
Sorry, Chair. Yeah, just at 5.4, the committee notes with concern that the under expenditure of infrastructure budgets by especially the Department of Water and Sanitary Health and Basic Education. Now, there's an expectation that something is supposed to be said after that. So maybe we should just take out the word that.
Yeah.
And just put the committee notes would concern the underspending of expenditure of infrastructure. Yeah. So we should just take out the word that. Because otherwise there's an expectation that this line is supposed to come continue. Because the next line is coming after full stop.
Did you get that? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Page 17, 5.6, Makakun.
Honorable members, We made a mistake, but we are correcting the figure on 5.6. It's not 7 billion. We took a total figure that includes provincial mandatory transfer.
Let's change the figure.
We are changing to 3 billion.
It's
3 billion.
Yes, it's 3 billion. Let me.
Nothing much for Tanzania.
3 billion. It's 3.909 billion 286 million.
Three billion 909,286. You can't go from a billion to
a million.
It's 3.909,286. So if you like, so it can be 3.909,286 billion. If you want to, 3.090286 billion. Or 3,909,286,000. Okay. Thank you.
Or 3.9 billion.
3.9.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was 5.6. Any other thing you want to? Want to raise on page 17? It's not reading time now. You read. Page 18, Honorable Zembo, Honorable Peters.
Chair 6.1, it's just a question of putting the sentence in the correct manner. That the Minister of Water and Sanitation should ensure that the mechanisms now are put in place so that there are consequences. So that there are consequences. 6.2, the National Treasury should carefully scrutinize government department's ability. Yeah. Then 6.3.
And that apostrophe is right after S.
Yes. No. No. Government will remain government.
Yes. Agree.
Then department, it's the apostrophe after S. Oh. Yes. Then 6.3. National Treasury and Cooperative Governments must furnish committee with a plan on how they plan. With 6.4, it looks minor. The second sentence, the overall strategic plans on how government plans it. There should be it. Let me read the whole sentence so that you capture it. The Minister of Public Enterprises must, within 16 days after the adoption of this report, present the overall strategic plans on how government plans it. It's how now I corrected it before. If then we have put that other that other word before, then the it goes out.
6.7, I'm trying to rush, Chair. On 18, why do we say on 6.1, the Minister of Water and Sanitation, and then on 6.4, we say the Ministry? What do we use? The Minister or the Minister?
We should stick to departments, Chair. I think it's their responsibility.
Okay. Just speak to that. Darren, you were saying something else.
Chairperson, when we recommend to the executive authority, mm-hmm. and the executive authority will ensure that the departments do whatever we ask. Thank you, Chair.
So we're having the minister then on both 6.1 and 6.4. Okay. On page 19, we're still continuing, Honourable. Sorry, Honourable Zemba is still on the floor.
Yes, 6.7, the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development should brief the Standing Committee on Finance on any progress made. There we include should. Thanks.
On the same line that Honourable is speaking to, is the should not maybe giving a leeway?
Now it's very mandatory,
okay,
that you should do it. But let me come back to 60 days. 60 days is before we come back.
I'm saying, Chair, if we're realistic, our time frame should be realistic, because we would be tabling this tomorrow, and if now we're saying 60 days to be realistic, it doesn't work.
Why don't we say 90 days then?
Yes.
Because there's no Bodul. There's another thing. This month, December, is dead month, and so on. Honourable Peters?
I think, Chairperson, we should leave it at 60 days, because when they submit, they will be submitting to Parliament. And the fact that we are, as members, in recess does not mean that Parliament is in recess. So once it has been submitted to Parliament, then Parliament refer to the committees. So I think it is important that we leave it as such, because usually you find that we do get work that has preceded our time being here. And Chairperson, just a question on 6.7. Is it the Committee on Finance or Appropriations? Standing Committee on Finance or Appropriations? So I just wanted to know. Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. And on everything else has been covered by Honourable.
Yes, Honourable Peters, to go back on your point. In fact, that was one of the considerations, the one that well, people can submit even if we're not here. But my main consideration was that this is a dead month. If you look at December and even January, so we may find out. Yeah. So
yeah,
that's why I'll plead to the members. Let's agree on 90 days, right? Honourable Sheikh.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. Sorry to check. Yeah. 6.1. I think that the Minister of Water should ensure that mechanisms be put in place I think the word should be to ensure there are consequences. There's a word missing there.
Just
on 6.1, to ensure there are consequences for those responsible for polluting Vaal River.
Okay.
Okay, continue, Honourable.
Yeah, and then 6.5, the ESCOM Chief Restructuring Officer must report to, should be to the committee. I don't know whether they report to this committee or report to committee. We just need to the Standing Committee on Appropriations within 60 days or this committee. Something really important.
Can I just take you on that one and take us on 6.5? I really don't like this thing of getting into an organization and pointing at people who must do it and so on. Because the responsibility may be lying somewhere else. That's one. Exactly. I think let's let's say it, again. I think let's stick with the Minister of Public Enterprises. Yeah. Thank you. Yes.
Chairperson, I would then recommend that for consistency's sake, we then remove the 60s throughout the recommendations and replace them with the 90 days.
Agreed. Robert Joseph.
Thank you, Chairperson. 6.2. If I read 6.2, then are we speaking to National Treasury and saying they're not doing a good job and that they must improve? In my view, they're already doing it. they are doing what we're asking them to do. So I'm not sure why this is here. And then the same with 6.7. That paragraph for me is not applicable also to the work of this committee. It was a point raised by the people who spoke, but I'm not sure that we are telling one department to do something for another department, unless, as it was asked, is it for our committee? Is it for the standing committee? Because we are, then there's two other committees involved that we are talking to. Just clarity on that, please. And I don't also know if that was the, that is the essence of the message that we must deal with. Because the legislation around cannabis is not, it's not a mandate of this committee.
I think the
issue that I was interested in was the economic impact. And I think a week before last week's briefing, there was about 4 point something billion or something in the papers, what other people were saying, what is happening in the industry. And therefore, I have asked the question about the formal economy and the informal economy, so that we can support SARS with getting taxes. You know, that's my interest in this committee. But the legislation of what they want to do and how they want to do it, that is for another committee to decide as part of the process of influencing legislation. So I'm not sure if we're aiming at the right point in this. Thank you, Jane.
Point made. I think the sentiment of the committee even on that day is that matter needed to go to a relevant everything. I don't think they came and we said them. We refer them to the relevant committees. We said definitely we're in a relevant committee. We're not going to know that before they spoke to us. So I think that whole the 6.7 should just go out.
Yeah.
6.2, I think it must remain, Honourable Joseph, because we're saying to prevent continued underspending. They're not doing that. Underspending continues, so that's the import of that of 6.2. So let's leave, because they are reporting, but as far as we continue dealing with underspending, so we're focusing them on that. Honorable Sheikh?
Yeah. Chair, I'm a little bit concerned about 6.7. It does have an impact on this committee, and I'll tell you why, Chair. You know, based on what the Chief the Minister of Justice will tell us about the legalization of cannabis, this committee will have to appropriate resources for economic development and creating industries, and people are going to be requesting here in terms of job creation, in terms of growing cannabis, in terms of export. And if we don't understand what the actual legislation is, what we've passed, whether they can grow it for trade and to be able to export, or is it only for personal consumption, makes it difficult for us. But remember that this is a very, very viable and profitable industry. Lesotho is now one, Lesotho currently has put so much of emphasis on cannabis growing of cannabis and export, that it's playing a major role in the economy. So I think I know where my colleague is coming from, but at the same time, there's no clarity for us really on what the position is. There's a lot of confusion out there. And then the other thing, Chair, is particularly the Khoi and San community believe that they have a major role to play in terms of this and the reallocation of land. That's why I think it is very important for us to, and I think that's why, you know, that there was a submission made to this committee, because we are the ones that are going to be where budget proposals are going to come to.
No, Chair, I thought maybe we should give space to the issue of legislation first, so that we can see how do we come in into that area. Which has been raised by Honorable Sheikh. And I also want to propose that the same manner that we approached the deadline on 6.7,
we should also do it at 90, and it goes with 6.8. The 60 days, we must change it to 90. I just wanted to make that so.
Okay. Honorable Sheikh and Honorable Joseph, sorry, on this matter, on the green staff matter, there is no doubt about the possible economic impact of it. But I think the main thing is things stand now, there's no legislative framework and so on. Why don't we rather call on our colleagues from the other departments to fast track and the legislative framework of this thing and so on, rather than us starting to say, because or even in fact it's not even just justice. I know agriculture is involved. I know health is involved. Yeah. So we are rather calling for legislative certainty as to what is happening by the department or by the departments or by the ministers responsible. Honourable, I don't know if they'll get my honourable children.
No, thank you, Chair, for that. I think in line with what you're saying, we should just then maybe just only then recommend that their report that they briefed us on should be forwarded to that department. Because I'm not sure if this group have been to that department. Maybe we should just do that and forward that report to that department. I think the next time you're going to deal with this matter, can I offer you one little joint of that thing before we... Thank you. But Chair, I think at this stage, I think I must agree with the original submission by my client. I think we should actually leave that out. I don't think it is relevant for us right now. I think the relevant departments must deal with it in terms of legislation.
Resemble?
Chair, with your respect, I beg to differ. A presentation has been made to us. And unfortunately, some amongst us as the committee were postured or seemed to be postured like snapping that presentation. So we should be careful. I think, Chair, this phrase, the whole paragraph, it is carefully, you know, structured. It's giving us a way of actually saying, yes, we listened, but there are these hurdles, you know, that hamstrung us. For instance, Chair, you would say, let's leave this out for now. But I would tell you, in the Eastern Cape, there has been a study tour taken to Canada by the affected municipalities where they feel that there's potential growth of cannabis. And they were not just alone. They were accompanied by the relevant MECs, you know, agriculture, as you were saying. They were there, rural development and all. So we just cannot shy away. This is just but one of the things which is still very far from realizing the implementation. So I think, Chair, let's leave this at this stage. Lest we be confronted, you know, with decision making and you wouldn't be, you know, ready for such.
I hear you, Honorable Zem, and I think we all agree that there must be certain legislative framework and so on. But what I think we are running away from, because we don't know what they've even decided, we are calling on the Justice and Constitutional Development. As you are saying, there are many departments who are involved. In fact, I think justice is even at the background. I know health was running with this and agriculture. So perhaps to try and get a middle way, right, where we must call on the executive, right, to finalize legislation around cannabis, right, so that it creates certainty and clarity as to what is happening there, something like that. You understand? You're calling on the executive to finalize this matter. I know it has been hanging. Some people don't want to deal with it for whatever reason, but it's something which is there. So all I have to say, let this
be dealt with and finalized so that there's certainty as to what it's happening. It's legislation which governs the whole question of cannabis. Okay.
Yeah, I'm saying, Chairperson, on the cannabis, on the issue of cannabis, it's a constitutional matter. It has been ruled over, and it's not a matter of choice by people whether they like it or not. People must just implement this thing.
That's why we're calling for the legislation to clear certainty as to how we deal with the question of cannabis. So we're calling on the executive to do this thing because it was presented to us. Okay? Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, that the previous statement, I'm not sure what I've heard is what I understand. This court ruling, I mean, I also don't want to go into the court ruling. All I wanted to do was to say there was a presentation made to us and that we must refer it to the relevant department. So they must attend to it. That where the work must be done, that is where it should be. And I'm going to be very frank, is that some organizations come to government to sell their point of view, promote whatever they want to promote, and sometimes they do talk to the wrong committees, like in this case was the other day. And there was nothing wrong in them coming here, but it's our responsibility to guide them to get to the right committee to influence legislation. It is, so I didn't give a view, personal view or committee view or party view. It was just in terms of processes. If you want to influence legislation, you must be at the right place to do it. Can't we right at the end if we speak about funding to it. But funding only if that department has dealt with the legal part of what is going out there in the country. That's all I'm trying to say.
Honorable Joseph, we agree 100%. That's why we said we're calling on the executive to finalize this matter so that there's certainty. Definitely dealing with that, and we're saying agreeing with you. We're at the tail end. Because we only fund legislated things. We can't preempt what they are going to legislate. So agreed. I think one of the things that helped me, Honorable Peters, I wanted to comment. This is about the big English that you use. You call it malicious compliance. Okay, no, I just wanted to comment about it, then it just slipped my mind. But one of the things that I'm addressing myself to the question of understanding, I don't know how we put it, and I would like your collective wisdom. You remember when we were talking with MGBBS, one of the things that we're talking about is the oversight function of Parliament. I think that's where it belongs. Remember that we spoke about something which must come to us monthly or come to the relevant committee monthly rather than when they report on their BRRR or quarterly reports. We should have this. We said it belongs here, so let's capture it then. Well, that's one. Two, and again, we need to call on the respective portfolio committees. They should also do their work as far as this is concerned. For if they play an oversight function, one of the main things that they should oversight on is the spending or underspending, and not just spending and underspending, the efficient uses of the resources. I think there is that so that it shouldn't be seen as perhaps just our responsibilities. Think all parliamentarians, that there are different deployments, especially portfolio committees, should be able to see that so that they can see the red lights developing, not to wait until. So how to capture that? We discussed it when we talked about MTP and you said it belongs here. So let's get it in some elegant English. No. We spoke about the oversight, effective oversight role by committees. And one of the things that we said at that time is that we only see things once the proverbial horse has bolted. So we're saying let's be able to intervene at the right time. So we're then saying it's not just this committee. There should also be the responsibility of other committees, especially the portfolio committees, to be able to see these things coming up. When the red lights are developing, they should be able to say there's a red light developing there and timeous intervention. So proper, effective oversight responsibility by Parliament through the committees and timeous oversight, not just to be reactive. I think that was the main point that was discussed when we dealt with MTPPS. You get it?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my concern under this issue of oversight that you are emphasizing, and it's indeed a very, very important point. Now, we are spending, I don't know if Treasury can give us a figure, I don't think not today though, of how much of money we spend together collectively on oversight in the country. And it is obvious that with all the money that you're spending, the oversight mechanisms that we got currently don't work. There has to be something. So I don't know if at some stage maybe we need to all committees come back together like we discussed an issue of a workshop earlier on and look at what we're going to do about this oversight. What are the shortcomings? Why are we not, despite spending these, I think it's going into billions to be honest with you, we're not achieving that goal of trying to make people compliant and not waste monies and things like that. I think really we need to look at it. The time has come 25 years later to start re-looking at some of these things, how we can strengthen them. Because at the moment it's a matter of five-star hotels, the travel, getting your S&T allowances. But, you know, the status quo is the same. The problems still exist, yeah.
Yeah, I think the thrust of our discussion is very clear, that at which we can start at this level of ours, that how do we make ourselves more effective and efficient in what we do, but that goes beyond us. I think that's what I hear Honorable Sheikh saying, that how do we ensure that we get value for money even from our side, from ourselves. It's one thing to talk about value for money from that side, but value for money from us as members of parliament. I think that's another thing. So I think in our discussion, we also need to look at that ourselves as a committee. I think for now we are saying more efficient and effective oversight, and because that's what we are recommending, that so that we challenge everybody else. We are noting that you are not effective. You talk about this thing next year, you don't find a different problem. For instance, if I were to make an example about Treasury, the Jobs Fund, despite the fact that this country is having a very high level of unemployment, but year in, year out, you still find the very same problem, underspending in that. What is the problem? See, but that goes for other departments too. So, for instance, we have noted this year, this, and we'll talk and say, no, there's underspending Jobs Fund. So what? We come again next year around this time. I can bet my last time we'll be saying we have underspent again. And so I think that's the frustration that Honorable Sheikh is talking about. Okay? So let's say you got how we yeah, just captured. Have you written something?
We're saying Parliament, we're recommending that Parliament must ensure effective budgeting and performance oversight over the executive to ensure timeous intervention where there is evidence of underperformance, both on non-financial and financial information.
I think it captures the gist of what we're saying, right? Then we'll deal with the how part of it. But the main thing, that's what I was saying, then as to how part of it is, it's one thing. Honorable Sheikh?
Yeah, Chair, sorry to do this. Chair, in the reports that we've been receiving, And I'm glad National Treasury is here, and I think we're going to be asking them to do a lot. It is estimated that 30% of public servants are not at work on any given time. And when you break it down, Chair, it's, you know, 600 billion is worth about 50 billion rand a month. If you take 50 billion rand a month and it at any given time, if 30% of the people are not at work, can you imagine how much it is costing the taxpayer, which is not productive because people are not at work? Now, I don't know, Chair, what we could recommend that together with the Department of Labor, because there appears to be too much of leniency or too much of protection from labor departments and things, and that's why we're sitting with this problem. Now, I'm not saying people must not get sick and things, Chair, but 30% at any given time on any given day of staff that are not there. In other words, if you're spending, what you're talking about, 50 billion a month, which you're talking about 1.5 billion rand a day, 30% of that money is just getting wasted every day because people are just not at work. And I'll give you a good example, Chair. Sorry I have to go there. It's because you can stay away for 2 days and you don't even have to bring a doctor's certificate. But end of the day, it's having an impact on the economy because of the amount of money that is being lost. So I want to suggest that maybe we need to look at that and maybe at some stage get a report. So each department gives us eventually, or gives it through to Treasury, what percentage of the workers have not been at work, what did it cost the state and the taxpayer, so we can see how serious the problem is and get intervention of labor and other relevant departments to say, let's look at what we need to make legislative amendments or changes here so that people are more compliant in terms of going to work, Chair.
Let's note the concern of the committee about high rate of absenteeism.
Yes.
absenteeism in government, its negative impact on the fiscals and on the economy. We note that is a one and even done. That's one. But again, it talks to the question of oversight again by the respective portfolio committee, because we should also be very careful that we may end up having too much on our plate and we're not able to deal with it. So that's why we should also direct somewhere that obviously this has got a financial implication and we have got all the rights to raise this concern, And then it talks to us not being effective in oversight. So it's something that we are concerned about. I want you to try and capture it, right? Because I want to close it. I think I want us to. There is a concern about that. Note that we're saying, and see a negative impact on both on the economy, on productivity, on service delivery. That has the high rate of absenteeism. That's one. So we're then calling on the responsible minister or ministers, the executive one, and two, the committee responsible for that, right? And the public service and administration, I think they are the ones, right? That is something that they should stay closer to, and report to Parliament what's happening about that. What I was saying.
I hear you, Chair, but I'm just looking at the report that also we're dealing with the adjustment appropriation. Maybe I'm suggesting maybe we can put that in our minutes and then request the relevant departments to brief the committee at some stage. But I don't think that of the appropriation. So, but we can put it in the minutes and take a resolution on it that when we come back, we are going to request a brief on this matter.
Honourable Sheikh, I think we're being taken back to the spore, to the railway line, because we're dealing with the adjustments to the appropriation. But I think let's note it for our minutes. That is something that we should follow up on, because it is an issue which must be followed up, because it is a drain. Perhaps when we deal with appropriations, the main appropriations at the beginning of the year, it becomes very relevant. At that level. Roshik?
Yeah, sorry, Chair. So that will probably apply to the next item I was going to draw your attention to. And that is again the responsibility of Parliament and its oversight over political party funding on the constituency offices and the allocations that they give. Some parties don't have offices at all, and there's a very great amount of money that is being sent. So I'm concerned about that as well, where we need to bring Parliament to order and make sure that they put in mechanisms in place to go and do oversight and make sure that, you know, the monies that they are appropriating, they are accountable for. And again, I think it will fall under the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's pack it for that. Yeah. Zamis,
right, my last input, Chair. I think we can't close this report, Chair, without emphasizing the need for greater consequence management for non-performance by all executive authorities and accounting officers.
Okay. I think we have been saying that. Let's have that. You noted the lack of consequence management. That's what you note, and then you resolve at the end of the day that there should be consequence management and the committees responsible for that should be briefed on an ongoing basis. Yes, sir.
Sorry, Chair. You know, for the last 5 years, Chair, we've been addressing this issue of consequence management, and we have requested, Treasury is also the culprit here because they have not been giving us the report. I hope Treasury is listening to this. We have repeatedly requested, even to Treasury, in this committee, Chair, that based on the poor performance and poor consequence management, can you give this committee a report every 3 months or annually or whatever it is of all the repeat offenders, you know, that have not been performing, so that we could try and deal with the appropriate departments or authorities in terms of trying to make sure that these people are accountable. But we haven't been getting that report, Chair, to be honest with you. So I don't know if we want to say that there must be consequence management and including a report provided to this committee, you know, quarterly or whatever it is, in terms of, particularly I'm interested in the repeat offenders, Chair. Year in and year out, they are getting bonuses, they're getting paid, and they're not performing.
Because we are going to have that. Please capture that. Agreed. Yeah. That takes us to the end of page 19. You know, I was saying earlier that ideally we shouldn't be having an adjustment appropriations bill if people were doing their work, because all what it says that we said here 5 months ago, and we dealt with the appropriations bill, it went through 5 months down the line, people are coming back to us and saying, no, you need to adjust the appropriations. Okay, that brings us to the end of the report. Can we have a move of the report, the adoption of the report? Honorable Kaiso, can we have a seconder? Honorable Sheikh? The report is adopted as a true reflection of what transpired in the committee when we dealt with the 2019 Adjustment Appropriations Bill. Thank you. Honourable members, let's say
3rd December.
Honourable members, can I just check that you do have the minutes of the 26th of November 2019 and the minutes of the 27th of November 2019? Do you have those two sets of minutes?
Yes.
So can I refer you to the minutes of the 26th? These minutes were sent to us, but can we go page by page quickly? Page 1. Two, three, 4, 5, Honorable Peters, on 5.
Bullet 1-2, on the HIV treatment program, the human populace vaccine list, it's not the populace.
Okay, corrected. Got it. That was the second bullet point number 2 on page 5. Page number 6. Mover for the adoption of the minutes. Peters, Honorable Kumane seconded. Thank you. Minutes adopted. 26th November 2019. Can you look at the 27th November 2019, page 1, Honorable Peters, page 2, page 3,
other introduction was to receive.
Got it noted, Honorable Peters. Page 4. Five.
Yeah, sorry, Chair.
Honorable Sheikh.
You show on the last line, Chair.
On page 5.
Yes, Chair. The department made the presentation after which the committee engaged with its content. I think the wording is just a bit...
Content.
You want contents?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Number 6, 7, 7. A mover for the adoption of the minutes. Honorable Peters, Honorable Josephs. Minutes, yeah. Minutes adopted is a true reflection of the meeting. Thank you. And then, honourable members, we agreed that on Thursday we'll be meeting at 9, between 9 and 12, right? I think the question that we should, two questions, how do we make ourselves more efficient in our, just reflecting on the past few months, how do we make ourselves more efficient and effective in our oversight responsibility? And two, looking at the things that we have decided on, and I've asked the staff to pick up on those things, how we're following up on certain things. For instance, we had an oversight function at ESCOM, and we identified a 4 million billion rand that was wrongly paid to a contractor. But that's how far it went. If people can ask us, who's that contractor? We don't know. What has happened? We don't know. So the question is, how do we follow up on things like that? We'll just have at most, we don't have 3 hours on Thursday. I know we are getting on into our time, but just to make sure that when we start at the beginning of the year, we don't start from a clean slate. All members, but thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned. There's another meeting. I saw an advocate coming in with big files, so he's starting to say to us, it. But I think I will be omitting a very big thing, which I think we need to celebrate. Honorable Peters has just become a coco in the past 2 days. Congratulations. Thank you. Enjoy. Okay. The meeting is at... Tomorrow's meeting is at 9.
Hey, let's...
Just a second, honourable members. Advocate, please come to site.
Session is starting at 10.
Honourable members, I think we I was just consulting with advocate here. You remember there's a process of the appointment of the PBO. And now we're having the subcommittee sitting now, and management will be taking us through the applications and so on. So the thinking is that the subcommittee is going to shortlist and then take the joint committees on board tomorrow. This is the list of people who are shortlisted. I'm not sure whether we're being too ambitious with that program. I think we're being too ambitious. Let's allow the subcommittee to sit and then we'll communicate. But my first response that we're being too ambitious with our time frames. So why don't we adjourn the meeting and then we'll communicate if there's anything that we need to communicate. Please be flexible, but my first response is that we are being too ambitious with our program.
Okay.